Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, there's just one more aspect of the doctrine of the church that I think I need to emphasize today before we move on. We're talking about paragraph 2 of the Baptist Church Covenant that says we engage to sustain the church's worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines. And the part that I want to emphasize is to point out that that word doctrine is in the plural. It does not say worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrine, singular, but doctrines, plural. You say, what's the difference? Well, when you talk about doctrine, you are talking in more broad terms. Doctrine is teaching. Christian doctrine is what the Christian church believes. But when you say doctrines, plural, you are probably talking in terms of some of the distinctive doctrines of a particular denomination. In the Bible, in the New Testament times, of course, there was no such thing as denominations. We know that. And we recognize that the development of denominations is not necessarily a manifestation of the healthiest aspects of the church. In an ideal world, there would only be one doctrine for all the churches. But we don't live in an ideal world. Even before the New Testament was completed, we find many references to competing teachings, to people who were teaching things in the churches that were not the apostles' doctrine. And when you use that phrase doctrine in the singular, you're thinking more in terms of the apostles' doctrine. When, for example, we read in Acts chapter 2 about those 3,000 believers saved on the day of Pentecost, they didn't continue in the apostles' doctrines, plural. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, singular. Here it is. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, singular, and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers, plural. So don't think that this is just a matter of accident. Well, doctrine, singular, plural, it really wasn't meant to communicate any particular point. Well, it was. Prayers are in the plural. Many prayers. Doctrine is in the singular. One doctrine. The apostles' doctrine. Christ's doctrine. The Bible's doctrine. It's one. It's unified. One teaching. One thing that is correct. Everything that deviates from the apostles' doctrine is unsound doctrine. So why do we talk about the doctrines, plural, of the church? Well, because, as I say, we don't live in an ideal world. And the problem is that the church has to keep recovering itself. The church has to keep reforming itself. Churches do not maintain their integrity and fidelity to their original doctrine. And as false doctrines creep into the church, then churches as an institution, an organization, become so corrupt and so deviant from sound doctrine that groups break away and start over again, endeavoring to establish a church built upon the Word of God and that alone, and hopefully being built upon the apostles' doctrine, singular. But of course, the whole process gets repeated over and over and over and over because We are all fallen sons of Adam, and we are not yet in heaven, and we're not fully sanctified, and that means we don't understand everything perfectly, and it means we don't practice everything perfectly, and it means we don't hold on to sound doctrine as we should. And so you do have the development of different denominations, and this, of course, is what some people mean when they say we don't want to teach doctrine because doctrine divides. Christ unites, love unites, the Holy Spirit unites. We want to unite. We're grieved by all these divisions in the church, and so we're not going to emphasize doctrine. We're going to emphasize Christ and love and unity and the work of the Holy Spirit. And what they probably mean by that is we're not going to argue about denominational distinctives, doctrines in that sense. Well, I think there is some merit, I suppose, in that, not elevating doctrinal distinctives to the same level as Catholic doctrine. Now, I use that word carefully and advisedly, and I probably shouldn't have because some people are going to misunderstand what I meant by that. I don't mean Roman Catholic doctrine. I mean Catholic in the sense of the universal church. We talked in our discussion on discipline about bottom line doctrine and bottom line behavior. And many of the doctrinal distinctives don't fit into the category of bottom line doctrine. They fit into the category of more secondary doctrine. Because all of the denominations at their beginning were sound. All of the denominations of Christian churches at the beginning were sound. They tend to stray from that, but they were all sound, and yet they still didn't all agree on everything. So that's why we have different denominations, because not everybody sees church government the same way. Not everybody sees baptism the same way. Not everybody understands the scriptures in the same way. Even people who are endeavoring to be true to the scriptures, they come up with different interpretations of what these things mean. And so that becomes the denominational distinctives. Now, a lot of churches in our day are downplaying their own denominational identity. You don't find that out until you've been in it a while. I'm amazed at how many churches, you don't know what they are. They deliberately choose some kind of nondescript name so that nobody can tell what kind of church that is unless they make a specific inquiry. Just driving by, you don't know. Baptist churches are doing that. Presbyterian churches are doing that. All kinds of churches are doing that. And then after a while, if you actually come to that church and get interested in it and get pulled in, you find out, well, we're actually a Baptist church, or we're actually a Presbyterian church. The name doesn't say that because we were afraid that the name might offend. It might turn you off. So we didn't want to emphasize that up front, but yes, that's what we are. All right, I'm not going to talk any more about that. I personally don't think that's the right way to go about it. I figure that we ought to just say what we are. If we're a Baptist church, let's say so. If we're a Presbyterian church, let's say so. But anyway, that aside, this idea of sustaining the doctrines, plural, of the church would seem to indicate that there is some emphasis upon the distinctive doctrines of this particular church as opposed to the church down the street that hopefully is also a Bible-believing church but has some differences that we call doctrinal distinctives. Now, it very well may be that the church down the street doesn't really much believe anything anymore. It may very well be that the church down the street has drifted a long ways from its doctrinal heritage. It was founded upon a certain doctrinal statement, confession, or creed, which it subscribed to in the early days, but it has drifted from that until very few of the people in the church believe that anymore. In some cases, the churches have actually been honest enough to change their original doctrinal statement to better reflect what they believe, but of course, when a church is in drift, then it doesn't take long till people don't even believe that new document anymore. At least it isn't important that they believe it. It's not necessary that they do. And so in many churches, neither the pastor nor the people believe what the church is supposed to believe, what it was founded upon, what it said it believed, what it may even say it believes. In fact, some churches that will even quote, for example, the Apostles' Creed in their worship service. Maybe every Sunday we'll have many people in the church who don't believe certain parts of it, even pastors who don't believe certain parts of it, but they'll continue quoting it hypocritically because it's traditional. We don't believe it, but we still say, I believe in, and there we go, and state this simple, basic doctrinal statement that all Christians are supposed to believe, but many Christians don't. Well, that's a problem. So what is the solution to it? Well, I don't know what the whole solution is. I mean, there have been many solutions proposed, and I don't know that anybody's found a foolproof solution, the reason being because we're all fallen sons of Adam, and sinners are sinful, and sinners can be clever in their sin. And so it doesn't matter what kind of safeguards you put up, somebody's going to get around them. But surely one of the things we need to do is to teach the doctrinal statements of our churches. Instead of letting them gather dust and fall into disarray and fade from memory, we need to be reminding people what this church was founded upon, what this church believes, what we say we believe, what we claim to believe. Let's understand what it is. Whatever your church's doctrinal statement is, let's understand it. Let's talk about it. Let's teach it. Let's review it. Let's make sure that people understand that this is the doctrinal confession of this church. This is the doctrinal statement of this church. These various sections of our doctrinal statement are the doctrines, plural, upon which this church is established. And therefore, every member of this church is committed to believing these doctrines. Is that such a strange idea? But I ask you, when was the last time you had any review or reminder or teaching or proclamation of the doctrines of your church? Do you have a copy of the doctrinal statement of your church? How long has it been since you've read it? How long has it been since your church encouraged you to read it? How long has it been since your church has made any reference to it? How can we sustain the worship ordinances, discipline, and doctrines of our church if we don't know what they are? If they are never referred to? If they are never taught? If they're never reviewed? If we are not reminded of them? How can we sustain them if we don't know them and aren't reminded of them frequently? Surely, part of the solution to doctrinal drift is doctrinal emphasis and doctrinal review. Surely we should understand that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.